देवकी परमानंदम कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरु। We are comfortable in the floor, or you can sit. Two seats are there. Okay? And you are sitting in a floor. You can come forward, little up. Don't be austere. Okay, this morning we are reading that chapter 12. And the question was that, first of all, the what is better, jnana or bhakti? Then the response came that each leads to the ultimate conclusion. And the same goal is reached in both. So Sri Krishna did not say it is higher, it is lower. According to one's tendency one can go, but if you reach there, it is the same. And then he said, but if you want to follow the path of knowledge, that we did, Nirvana Satakam we just chanted. I have no father, I have no mother, I am not this, I am not body, not mind, not this. This path is also a path only fitted for few people. Otherwise most of the people will be totally... It is very difficult for the ordinary people to follow that path. Because we live in the world with our human relationship, with our duties, with our responsibilities, with all things what we do. And if you say, I am not the body, not the mind, then perhaps you cannot keep any relationship, no? If I am not the body, what is the question of my mom, dad, brother, sister, husband, wife? Though nothing stands there. So it is very difficult. It may be fitted for few people, but it is not. Ramesh, there was one gentleman, Ramesh Balsekar or something like that, in Bangalore. He is a householder, strong Vedanta. He does not budge an inch from Advaitic concept of non-dualism. So these are exceptionals. Ramana Maharshi is an exceptional, every one of you know. That type of people are very rare. But for us, it is bhakti. Devotion is good. It is enjoyable. Don't sit in the heart, I feel bad. Sit there or there. Be comfortable. Yeah. And now he said that, but bhakti is also... Bhakti is an inherent quality in us. We all have the tendency to love something or somebody. We human, we love good food, we love good place to go, good country to see, visit. So these are tendency, but we let it be turned towards God. So it is God. And then he said that love, best is that if you can love God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, that is the best thing. But how many people can do that? They'll be totally meditating on God. That was the first chance. That is best. If you can just put your whole heart and soul and mind, that means you are absorbed in God only. That they prapnuvanti mam eva, they will attain me. And now, if you cannot do that, then he has given... Krishna has given us some options. Next stage is Abhyasa Yogena. Well, if you cannot do that, get absorbed. Try practice. I forgot. Morning time, there is Rabindranath Tagore's son. Prabhate Tomare Bhavi Goswami. In the early morning when I woke up, I come out with a resolution that, oh Lord, I will think of you first. But in the work, I forget that. When I think that I will be remembering you when I go to bed, I forget that. So this is our point. So better total mind, that's a too high state. So he said, okay, if you cannot do that, then you can do Abhyasa Yogena Tato Maam Ichhaptum Dhananjaya. O Dhananjaya Arjuna, meaning we all people, it is addressed to Arjuna, meaning that it is also addressed to all of us. So it is said, Maam Ichha Aptum, you desire to reach me by the process of one sadhana. It is called the Abhyasa Yoga. It is a union which comes out of practice, repeated practice. Okay, I forgot this. Okay, now I remember. Oh Lord, you are my heart, you are my soul, you are my everything. Even that becomes difficult. Then there is the alternative. Abhyasa upyasa marthasi mat karma paramo bhava. Athaita upi abhyaso. Okay. So it says,
the
short? Okay. Put it to the short. So it says, Atha Chittang Samadhatum Na Shaknasi Maishthiram. If you are not able to fix your mind steadily on me, then seek to reach me by Abhyasa Yoga, by practice, of repetitive practice. Now people say it is also, you try to practice but all the time forget. So what to do? Then another easier path, it says, Abhyasa Upyasa Marthasi. If you are not very good in the practice of remembering and repeated practice in between, Abhyas, then Mat Karma Paramo Bhava. You do whatever you do, think that you are doing for me. So everything you do, think that I am doing for the Lord. So, and if you can do madartham api karmani kurban, that was the verse number 10 on page 651 of this book. So if you say that madartham api, you can do karma, I am doing for God. And if you can do kurban siddhim avapshasi, you will attain success. That means success of reaching me. You will be able to do that. Even if you cannot give your whole heart and mind, neither you can practice, repeated practice, forgetting this time. We are all human beings, we work. Let us work. But wholeheartedly think that I am doing for God. Oh Lord, it is your work I am doing, whatever I do. So right from cooking, cleaning, cooking, going to office, driving, shopping, taking care of the children, whatever, husband, wife, whatever I do, every karma I do for you. This is a great spiritual ideal. It can be practiced. So then if you can do that kurvan siddhima vapsus, you will attain success. Then we read also, if you even say that, oh, it is not possible, I can't do that. That whole karma to do, all the time to think, I am doing some work in my office that I don't like. And I'll say, oh, it is, I'm doing for God. I can't do that. When I go to office and see my boss angry with me, so all my God goes. So this is difficult, no? So what is the alternative then? Then he said, the Athaita Adopi Asaptosi. If you, even you are unable to do this type of karma, mad yoga masritam, that you are doing work for me, being tuned to me, everything you are doing, your mind will tell, I am cooking for Lord, I am cleaning Lord's house, I am going to shopping for the Lord, because Lord's children will eat. Whatever you do, everything, I am taking care of my child. I said, Lord has come in the form of my baby here. So I am taking care of the Lord, Gopala, Ramakrishna said. So all karma, irrespective of good, there is no good and bad in it. There is no higher and lower. Normally in our life we think that doing worship, offering flower, chanting mantra, this is more spiritual than cooking. or cleaning or doing something else. That is our normal concept. But it says, no, all the karma you are doing for me, remember it. Whatever you are doing for me and me alone. So if you can think that, then you will attain me. But atha etadupi asaktosi kartum mad yoga mastrita, that is 653 page, then what will happen? Sarva karma phalottyago, then you can do this much. You cannot do constantly thinking I am doing for God, doing for God, doing for God. You forget. Hmm? Maybe after the whole end of the day, you can make a balance sheet. How many times I remembered? You will find that maybe our awakening period is a longer period, is it not? We get up in the morning and go to bed around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, some people go like that. So how many hours of this whole daytime and how many things we did? We did so many things, but how many times I remember that I'm doing for God, doing for God, doing for God. Oh Lord, it is your home, it is your people, it is you in all my friends and relatives and siblings, whatever. So how much we can remember? So I forget that. I cannot do that. Okay, if you cannot do that, then you can do this easily. At the end of the work, you offer it to me. Sarva karma phalatyagam tato kuru jatatmavan. Therefore you, jatatmavan, you have your mastery, you have your control over your mind, O Arjuna. You can now try that I cannot do that all the time when I get engrossed into the karma. Karma takes my mind away, is it not? Is it not? When you go in your office and got engrossed into your work, where is God? And Swami Vivekananda also said, yes, forget God. That work should be done very perfectly because you are doing for God. Here comes the philosophy of practicality. Religion is not outside our day-to-day life, lifestyle. That is the Gita. It's called the practical book, handbook. Practical handbook of Vedanta to practice. So, yes, when you do for God, you think that I am doing for God, I am offering to God, but you get engrossed into the work so perfectly that you forget the whole world. To do it most, the best way you can do with all perfection. The Gita suggests that you cannot do haphazardly anything. You are cooking, your 80% mind is in some other thought, and that day cooking you do not know, you have given twice the salt. Or you missed something, one item you missed, one item you added, because mind is not there. But how can you do that cooking for the Lord? If you think that you are feeding the Lord, your full attention should go. How you decorate the tray, how you put the in the oven, everything should be perfect, 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 because you are doing for God. So forget the goal even, then engross yourself in action with all perfection, one-pointedness. And when the work is done, then you say, O Lord, it is for you. So offer the fruits of action. Fruits of action means people will, after you do with such concentration and one-pointed mind, then people will eat and say, it is good food, who did it? As soon as he says, I did it, mind is, I did it. But if you know that you have offered it to God, then you cannot feel excited that it was, I did it. You mentally say, oh Lord, you gave me the power, I did it for you, by your power. So you really spiritualize it. Otherwise, our ego comes, or also frustration. I did it with so much attention and then criticism. What type of food is this? That's your whole joy goes away. I worked so hard, paid so much attention and did so much, but you know, nobody appreciates me. That is a common point in our day-to-day life's frustration. It is a reality of life. You will have to think. You cannot expect what you are thinking. Therefore, if you can offer the fruits of your action to God, then any praise comes, you say it is yours. Blame comes, it is yours. So you are free. You can just make yourself free from the entanglements which the other things are bringing. So karma phala tyaga. That is the ideal of Gita. Ideal of the Gita, the Arjuna fought with such precision, such accuracy. It is not a fun. You are fighting and with enemy, your target, your point, your focus, your attention, everything is going on. But you know, Sri Krishna Arpanamastu. That's why in our prayers we at the end we say, Om Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. Offer it to Ramakrishna. Or you are doing Mahakali's puja, Srimad Dakshina Kalika, Sri Charane Arpanamastu. That means I am offering to God. So that offering, but as I said in the morning also, we do offer, but take back. Sometimes we, I said, oh Lord, I gave it to you. But in the subtle part of the mind, it catches, keeps on, holds on. They said, oh, I forgot that. Then I again take back from God and I take my credit. Or discredit, whatever maybe. So this is the point that this is the 11th verse taught us that sarva karma phalatyagam tato kuru jatatmavan. And then, now we are going to the 12th verse, no? We done? Okay.
12th is done.
Sriyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnanat dhyanam visishyate dhyanat karma phalatyago tyagat shanti anantaram nirantanam. What about it? Sriyo hi jnanam abhyasat. You are practicing jnana. Jnana means, I am not the body, I am not the mind. Intellectualizing. That type of abhyasat, dhyanam visishyate. Then you can love God. Dhyana will come out of love. Whom you love, unconsciously you think of that person. So love, and if somebody says, I love you so much, but I never think of you. That is not true. It cannot be like that. You love anything, one part of your mind will be always going towards that. This is the philosophy of life. We live in that context. So you are doing some intellectual thought, I am not this, I am not that, but mind going into the raw materials of the world. So it is not a spiritual practice. The better you have grown some one-pointed attention, God as your one-pointed attention. Dhyanat dhyanam visishyate. And now dhyana, you are doing dhyana also, but as we do meditation, how many moments we can keep our mind focused in God? When I am meditating, I think of everything but God. Isn't it not? If you have tried, you know. Someone is sitting for 2 hours, 3 hours meditation. It is a long time meditation. We do 2-3 hours meditation at a time. Very frankly telling that even we trying so many years, if you sit together, then you analyze, hey, after 3 hours, how many moments we thought of God? Your all thoughts are going, subtle thoughts coming in the mind. Suddenly you go to India and roam around here and there. Again you are meditating and then you say, no, come back. I have to think of God. So the mind, you bring the mind back. And then again, within few minutes it goes to New York. So it is like that, mind is like that, moving constantly in this direction, that direction. It is random movement. It moves faster than even the speed of the light. From sun's rays of light touches the ground, it takes how much?
8 minutes.
8 minutes. But you can go and come back from the sun 10 times, 20 times within fraction of a second. Just to think of sun. See? That's why Kathopani says the mana. Mind is jobiyo. Jobiyo means it is speedy. It is speediest thing in the world of measurement. You can go to the distant star, a billions of light years away, just here and come back. Mind is so fast. That's why to have mastery over the mind is a big deal. So when we sit for meditation, dhyana, then we don't think of God. Rather we... That's a good process. I'm trying to concentrate. But is it better? Don't be idle. Do your work. And then offer it to God. So that's why last point is dhyanat karma phalatyago. It's much better. Rather you work. That's why it is said, incessantly you get engrossed into action. So that your action, every action you do, and you offer it to God, offer it to God. So the net result of this work, which brings good or bad, that's why we say, we by our karma go to heaven or go to hell. Right? Not Christian hell. Christian is one you enter, you cannot come back. Or heaven, if you get into heaven, that's all, you cannot come back. Heaven is not a good place. What is heaven? Only there will be no disease, no death, but you will have plenty of food. You will not have to go to your Rockwell or what there, or to university to teach or anything. Just you be, enjoy. Food is plenty, fun is plenty. That's the concept of heaven in every religion. So that place is, where is the place of God there? Right? So when it is a day of festivity, that day we forget God. Rabindranath Tagore sang a song that Tomar pujar chale, tumai bhule thaki. Oh Lord, I forget you. in the vein that I am doing your worship. And he elaborates this dhuper dhua, the smell of the fragrance of the incense, and food, flowers, etc. I get engrossed into it, but I forget you totally. So that's why this is the way. So how to keep the mind? Better to say at the end of the work, I offer it. So every day if you offer the results of what the achievement or failure of today, if it can be done, then your expectation is less. Suffering comes from expectation, is it not? You look at your own relationships, you will be very much clear on that point. Is it not? You expect that Kumar should do this. Just now we'll expect something, Kumar should do this. But Kumar does not do that. So you suffer. Suppose you sometimes you say, I have given up, I don't expect anything. Then you are free. Expectation is the cause of all suffering. That's the Vedantic philosophy, higher philosophy. Not that we would not expect, that is not the point. But we will have to expect, but at the same time, keep our freedom. I expect it. If it happens, good. If it does not happen, God's will. Then you are in peace. Our expectation is the cause of all suffering in life. You do your best. Suppose you do your best job for the whole year in your office, and you expected a good raise. You find that you are not been considered, another worthless fellow has been given there. So, okay, that's not a very good thing. We don't expect that, that's not justice. But you go on suffering. Instantly if you think, okay, let it be, what can I do, it is not in my hand. I have done my duties. And if you fight, you can appeal. Afterwards, get in peace. But people cannot keep the peace and go in frustration whole year. And his work quality goes down. You are spoiling yourself by making you less efficient because the raise was not given. That's true. We should not be cheated. That I understand. But if you have no other way but to accept that, why do you accept with grumbling mind? Why not say, I offer it to God? I don't care what they give, but I mentally offer it to God. I have dealt with God only. So, you know, if you give it to God, then expectation comes less. So this is an art of living. People talk about art of living in their life. There are many books are coming out, but this is the best book. If we can reduce our expectation, we will expect. Fundamentally, that is true. We must have to expect something because we are human. But at the same time, we should have the ability and freedom that I can stop my expectation. Expectation is okay, but I ultimately mentally give it to God So whatever comes, I will accept as God has given me. God wanted to give me this way. I am happy. So you can be happy. You just think about that. If you don't get a raise, your money is not reduced. You get the monthly salary same. Your energy level, your frustration is disturbing you, but your boss is putting the pressure. I need this work to be done this hour. You cannot do that work because your concentration is not there. Anger is coming, frustration is coming inside. It is a very natural thing. But if we use this tool that I do it for God, when I offer it to God, the result have come this way. It should not have, but it has come. I accept it. As soon as you say that, see, soothing balm in your heart. It fills your heart with joy. Okay. I can work more peacefully. So you can analyze this. In everyday's life, why this loving relationship of husband and wife gets bitter? Eh? Is it not? Expectation, expectation, expectation. Does not mean we'll not expect. Yes, you expect. But can you analyze this way? I expect that I should be like this. Is it not? I am a monk. I thought I shall be living my life like that. I'll be sitting in meditation. I'll be like that. I'll be studying Vedanta like that. How much I am successful? I am willing to change myself. And there my effort, I am exerting my effort, but I am not successful. How can we expect he will change, she will change, or she will change according to my wish? So if we can understand husband and wife, a heavenly relationship will be there. And be peaceful, be joyful all the time. And you can make fun of it. Or it may be a serious issue. And it is called the snowball effect grows. If grumbling goes on inside, then little thing becomes a cause of separation. You are holding it in the mind and you are keeping that type of frustration, and then it goes little bit. Oh, you stand like that. Then it will be a problem. You stand like that. Then you go, oh, you smile like that. So, you see, all it is not that anything new has come. The same people. But it grumbling, expectation and dissatisfaction, those are in a snowball effect. It is unnecessarily accruing some mass into it. Huh? Why to allow that growth unnecessarily, where we can enjoy my life? Okay. We can tease each other that you have you have actually made such a thing today that you lost my all expectations. Okay, today you are successful. I'll try tomorrow. So that's all. And you can be very cheerful and joyful. That's the point. The spiritual teachings are so great that it in the Bhagavad it is said, Ashahi paramam dukkham nairashyam paramam sukham. Asha means expectation. Nairashya means I don't expect anything. I do. Like Swami Vivekananda said, be like a king. Why beg always? Hey, give me this, give me that, give me that. Why? You give the best you can. But it should not be one-sided. It should be both-sided to make a balance. But if both of us understand, it is not the begging, it is my giving. There also comes the philosophy of love. Love is always giving. Love does not count how much I give back. It can be understood with the... That's why in human relationship we know the mother and child relationship is the sweetest and lofty ideal. Mother may be tired, have mom and dad both, may be tired, have not slept, did work whole day, but the baby is sick. What they will do? Whole night they are awake to take care of the baby. And next day, mom goes to her office and didn't grumble. Hey, see, I worked so hard, whole night I have to spend like that. But you appoint one nurse for the whole night and you ask her to do or him to do 3 hours extra with the same money. What she will do? Because there is no love. It is a consideration is the money per hour, how much you give me. But here is no consideration of money. If I don't take care of the baby, who will take care? So there comes your responsibility. And their smile is also there with so much dedication, then you can also enjoy. Maybe it is physically sometimes difficult, but mentally you think, my baby, I am had to take care of that. So when there is love, there is tremendous power comes. Yeah. And when there is no love, a little bit I did, then there will be a big issue. I did that much on 1999 for you. You did not return my that thing even today. So this is the point. That's why it is said tyagat. Karma phala tyaga and tyagat shanti. Then comes your peace of mind. Your heart will be peaceful. No one will be able to disturb your peace because joy is here. You can control that. You can manipulate that with this art of living. Now let us go to the 13th verse on page 659. No, have I missed anything?
No. 650.
Oh, 60. 657. Yeah. Now the devotee's divine qualities. Who will love God? What will be the symptom? What will be the sign that you love God? What will be the manifestation? That is very important. In the Gita, these are the testimonials. Many people may go to the temple. In India, you see, south or north or east or west, wherever you go. I live in the east mostly. I can tell you. You can tell about your south or your middle part of the country or wherever you go. See what happens? You go to the Ma Kali's temple. People are very devotional, wake up in the morning and then go into the, take a dip in the Ganges. And then they purchase some fruits and candies and incense. All the time talking about mundane things. They go with the friends, no? So friends to always talk. What happened to your job or what happened to your daughter? And you know, my daughter-in-law is like that, my brother-in-law is like that, these, that. It is all mothers. They went to do the puja. And this goes on. And then you stand in the big queue and long queue and with the flower basket in your hand. You should do japa, you should meditate. That time also, what is going on in whose family? You are not related, not maybe related to you. In your neighborhood, somebody's daughter-in-law did something, a son-in-law had that, this, and then now it is a big issue. And then you go, and when you enter into the temple, then priests are tight, pushing you, pulling you, this you, that you, and then you forget God or anything, only the flower basket in the hand. And they quickly they take it and throw it in the feet of the mother and then return it. And you come out of the Kali temple, finished. Your puja is done. Acha, did I say anything extra? Is it not the experience in the, say, Balaji temple you go or any temple you go? People are doing so much rituals of before going and this, and before you stand before the deity, they're pushing you out. Tirupati, of course Tirupati will happen. But because so many people. So now the question is that what are the traits then? You are a devotee, we are talking about a devotional practice. What will be manifested in my life? How will be my life? How will I interact with people? How other people will see, oh, he is a devotee of Lord, really a lover of God. These are the traits. What are these? Devotees' divine traits. Adhyastva sarvabhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaro sama dukkha sukha kshami santushta satatam yogi yatatma dhranischaya muyarpito mano buddhir bhaktiman sa chame priya bhaktiman same priya. He is bhaktiman, he is my dear, I love that devotee. That means these are the traits, adhyashtva. What is adhyashtva? He has nobody to hate. That means you see that your God is in the heart of that person also. That only everyone, God is in everyone's heart. Does not mean that they are all holy people. Holiness does not manifest because their mind is crooked. Is it not? It's the veil of mind. The light is inside. The same lamp in me, in you, in everyone. Only we are, manifestation is different. And what? How the manifestation is different? Because it is covered. With what type of covering? If you put a very dark covering over it, no light will come out. It is a tamasa quality. If it is a little reddish color of covering, you can see the red color coming out. Light is clean. It has no red, it is no nothing. Anger, hatred, these, that, love, all these expressions are on the surface. So, but God is inside. That's why there is a statement, hate the sin, not the sinner. Sin is to be hated. That the worst qualities, in you there are good qualities. In you there are some qualities which may not be up to that standard. So if you are to hate, one of our Swami was there. He used to suggest that always try to blame the gunas. This is a very beautiful way of interaction in family also. You can say, if someone is little lazy, don't blame him. Yeah, you are lazy today, you are not doing, then he will be hurt or she will be hurt. But if you say, you are possessed by the tamas quality now, so you will not feel that, I am good. The tamas quality has taken possession of me. You did not hate the tamas quality, not the person. But what we do, we mix together. We hate the person. So the question is that, hate the tamas, hate the rajas, appreciate the sattva. So this is the thing, we have to have a new look in our spiritual life. We are devotees, we should learn adhyashtva. I am not to hate anybody. I hate the evil tendencies, I hate the negativities in that person, that is not he or that is not she. She or he is God within. But these are the bad things. That also I have something. I am not perfect. So why to hate so much? So adhyashtva, this quality will develop. Not that in one day we will be successful to reach that point, but adhyaso, the attitude of not deso or hating will develop in one. You will see that spiritual people does not see fault with others much. That's why we pray. Every day we pray before food that we should not see the fault with others. At least we pray. That time we remember, no, I should not see the fault. If I repeat it 20 times a day, it will be much more effective. That I should not be seeing the negativities of others. It is said also, if you appreciate somebody, you gain the result. If you see, if you hate somebody, you put in your bank account negative things. That means your mind is engrossed on the negative ideas and you are absorbing those negative ideas. That's why there is a statement that if anyone hates a holy man, he gets the benefit of it because he is getting the good qualities. You are thinking of the holiness, you are thinking of the love, you are thinking of God, dedicated spirit. So those qualities you are imbibing unconsciously. That's why Patanjali also gave a suggestion that you can meditate on the heart of a holy person. Why? Because holiness you are absorbing. And if you see the evil, then you absorb the evil qualities. Rather, you are taking away his sins. In that sense also, we should not hate anybody. But see the tamas or nature in it. So, adhishta sarva-bhutanam. To every creature, that type of spirit will develop. Not in one day, but you are a devotee, it will, you will manifest in your life that type of character. Maitra. Maitra means friendship. You will see that the spiritual people, wherever they go, they feel very friendly. They think that, oh, as if our own friend has come after a long time. Maybe they have not seen that person anymore, once in a lifetime. But they feel so close because devotion has developed in the heart. Maitra, karuna. Karuna means compassion. You'll be compassionate. Anyone suffering anyway, your heart will speak something differently. If you can help, help. If you at least don't help, you pray, you feel sad. That means you are developing bhakti. Karuna evacha nirmamo. Nirmamo means heartless. One meaning. And another meaning is, nirmamo does not mean heartless as a devotee's characteristic. Oh, someone is dying. Okay, he is going for his karma. Bad karma. Oh, that's why he should get. Some people come to me one day to ask some this question I faced twice or thrice. I was surprised. Then said, Swami, we should not help anyone. Well, I said, why? Well, if I help, then I am intervening in his karma theory. He has done some bad karma, he should have to suffer. I said, Baba, I don't understand your this karma theory. Someone is suffering, let him suffer. Because I should not intervene into his karma. If I help, his suffering will be less. How can I do that? What type of philosophy, you know? So this is the avakta philosophy and this is the bhakta philosophy. Bhakta philosophy is that anyone is suffering, I should be very sympathetic. Because in me is the same Lord, in there is the same Lord. Any suffering, Swami Vivekananda could not sleep for the suffering. You remember when he was in the prime of his success, the first day speech in Chicago Parliament of Religion, 1893, 11th September. That night he was sleeping in the floor and crying and weeping for the suffering of the people of India who were unfed, hungry. And he was thinking, oh Lord, here is so much of enjoyment and fun and luxury, and people leave. Oh, please. Please come in, come in. Welcome, welcome. Okay. So, he could not sleep. He could not sleep whole night. It happened that time in Belur Math. And his whole night he was pacing back and forth. The reason is that Hari Prasanna Maharaj, the Vigyanananda, asked, Swami, why are you not sleeping? He said, you know, in some part of the world, people are in extreme suffering. See, they have not seen the suffering, but somewhere something has happened and his mind is resonated with that pain. And next day they could come to know that it is in Fiji, there was some volcanic eruption and many people were in trouble in that particular time. So, feeling will go to that extent. So, that is the point. Nirmamo means not momo means me and mine idea. Ni, momo, not heartless. Heartless, normally nirmam. We say, oh, that man is very nirmam in India. What do you say in Hindi? Do you use this word, nirmam? Bengali we use nirmam. Nirmam means heartless. But here, ni, momo. Only these are my people, these are not. That type of momo buddhi, me and mine idea will go away. The whole world is vasudhaiva kutumbakam. The whole world is mine. It is not only my family, my child, that child is also my child. So that type of expansion of the heart will happen. Nirmamo. Nirahamkaro. Egoless. That person will be gradually becoming more and more less in ego. Pride. Samadukha. Sukha. Will be in sukha and dukkha, which comes in life, sama. Not be disturbed too much. There will be little upsetting if dukkha comes. Little happiness, it may give little change, but almost it is balanced. Whether sukha comes, happiness, or dukkha, suffering, whatever comes, they are equanimity, they maintain their equanimity in sukha and dukkha. And kshomi, khama, kshama, what is kshama?
Forgiveness.
This is another great virtue you will find, forgiveness. Many people cannot forgive. People say, I can't forget you, forgive you. Many people say, and really, that because of the lack of that, they carry the pain in them, and also the animosity with other people continues. So the quality, another good trait will be kshomi. Then he will be santushta satatam in all conditions, in wealth and in prosperity, in your bad days or in your good days. The mind will be santushta, satisfied, contented. Okay, God has put me into this. Okay, it will go on. No? That is a great virtue. If you are a devotee, that cultivate that devotion attitude will help you to feel that it is, I am contented, okay? I am satisfied. Discontentment is a sense of restlessness. And discontentment is always frustrating. It does not give any joy to anyone, neither the person or the family. A discontented means a disgruntled person. Discontented person is a disgruntled person. If that disgruntled person is there, you live with them, you are in pain. Because he is not satisfied in anything. Here is the question of satatam santushta. Contented in all circumstances. Not that you will be perfectly satisfied, but balance will come more and more. Because you know it is God. We ultimately have a greater value. God is taking care of it. God is giving it to me. So, santushta, satatam, yogi. They become united with God. Jatatma. They are always, their mind, atma means your mind. His mind is always jata, means sanjata. Controlled mind. They have their mastery over their mind. Not that whatever mind says. We run whatever mind says. They are like the children. I want this and then, must, gone. You will have to give it, no question. Otherwise, you will make a mess of it and cry and weep and man. Then you say, okay, Baba, get it. So, similarly, our mind plays with us. Mind says, hey, I want to see this, I want to go to this, I want to eat this. Man, go, 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 go. And we run for that. It is no. That is here is the control, jatatma. Dirho nishchaya. Dirho nishchaya is the possessed of firm conviction. God is there. He is taking care of me. Though I am going through a bad time, though I am going through something which is unwanted, but God is there. He will look after me. He is taking care of me. Confirm that way. And then, Dirho nishchaya moi arpita mano buddhi. His mind, mano, and buddhi, intellect, is arpita, is offered. Moi, in me, in the divine, in the Lord. So they keep their mind, heart and soul and intellect in me. That means God is there, my mind goes to him and prays to him, my conviction comes, he is there. If God is in my conviction, we don't understand what is called God. If you think that God is your support, then why you or myself will be helpless? Why do we feel helpless? Who is God? We say like the parrot. Parrot talks too many good things, as Ramakrishna said. But when the cat comes and catches the neck, then all Ram Nam goes away. He starts crying, ta, ta, ta. So we also like that. We may talk many things, but when that type of situation comes, we forget. So the question is that, who will be, God is my support. Who is God? By whose desire, just desire, this whole cosmos has come out. In Christianity it is also said, let there be light, and there was light. In Vedanta it says, Eko hang bhushyama prajayeti. I was alone and I wanted to be many, and whole creation will come out. Huh? Whose twinkling of an eye millions, one galaxy is going to black hole. What power, what energy? You are all scientists here, mostly. So what type of energy is that? Even the physical energy you consider. And the whole cosmos is run by His. That you call God. Who is God? You have to define God. And that God is my support. What is my fear? Who is more powerful than Him? If you think this way, who I am taking shelter to, then you will be fearless then. What will happen? Death? What's the fear of death? Everyone will have to die, and no fear of death. And but I am supported by that infinite principle by whose power the constellations and the stars and galaxies, there's movement. We go to the micro level, the movement of the electrons, and then go to the subatomic particle. This huge energy by whose wish it has been created, it has been absorbed, it has been expanded, it has been reduced. And He is my support. I rely on Him. So why you will be weak then? If someone, a billionaire, suppose, just giving an example, a billionaire supports you, loves you very much. Do you care for any money any time? How much money you need? 100,000, 200,000, 10,000, 100,000 is nothing. Million? How much million you need? 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 20 million? If a billionaire supports us, we feel no. If a doctor friend is known to us, we know in difficulties, I know my friend is there, I can call him anytime. You feel so much free. When any health problem comes, you know there is my friend. Okay? How much release you feel. And he is the sum total of all doctors, all engineers, all rich people, all love, all knowledge, everything is the essence of everything. He is my support. You call he or she, whatever aspect you say, or it, whatever, that is God. So that is that. Why I shall be disturbed so much? So that bhakta, that's a bhakta. Bhakta means who decides that God is my sole caretaker. So that type of bhakta is sachame priya. So you see, these traits will be manifested in our life gradually. And also next quality is 15th verse. Jasmatno, page 659. Jasmatna udvijate loko, lokan udvijate chaya, harsamarsa vayodvegair, mukta jasa chame priyaha. Jasmatna udvijate. There are people whose presence creates commotion. Your disturbance will start. My God, He has come. But a devotee, if he goes anywhere, people feel joy. Oh my God, a friend has come, isn't it? So, jasma, from whom? Na udbijate loka. These people or the society does not feel udbigna. What is udbigna in this? Udbijate is agitated. Mental agitation, psychological agitation. No one will feel by His presence. Rama, Krishna, look at that. Wherever they go, good people enjoy their presence. Christ, Buddha, like that. Jasmat, from Him no one will be agitated. Neither He can be agitated by anyone. That is called the bhakta. A man may come with a sword in hand to chop him, but it will not agitate his inner feeling. So that is the power of a devotee. But we get easily agitated with anything. You say a single word, boom. If it is something I don't like, immediate reaction. But this is the bhakta. He will not be a source of creating in agitation in the mind of others. Neither you or me can create any agitation in their mind. Whatever you do, they are above. That is the bhakta, sign of the bhakta. These are all the symptoms same. Jnani and bhakti is all same here. Harso amarso, what is in joy or in suffering. Amarso means here joy, envy, fear, anxiety. Harso amarso bhayo udbega. Bhayo is fear, udbega is anxiety. All these are human traits. We go through different situations and these reactions come in our mind. But he will be free from them. Harsa amarso bhayo udbega in mukta. He will be free. And this type of bhakta is my very dear. That means those who have cultivated this type of character. Then it continues more. That means to be a bhakta is not so easy. Now you understand whether jnani is better. Bhakta means you will have to have all these good qualities. Note down 28 or something like that to come. Now he is singing Anapeksha Suchir Daksha 661. Anapeksha Suchir Daksha Udashino Gatabhyatha Sarvarambha Parityagi Bhaktim Jumar Bhakta Same Priya. So now he who has no wants, he does not want anything. Who is pure in heart and who is prompt. Prompt means there is Dirgha Sutra. If you give some work to a lazy guy, then you will find that that work is not finished even after a month. And you, that's why in this country there is a word that if you want the work to be done, give the most busy person the work. You will get it done quickly. Because those who are lazy, they will be, it is called, always lagging behind. So it is prompt. If you say anything, he catches it instantly. He does it, finish. That's why in this country they are called type A personality. Isn't it? Spiritual people, some of our spiritual people I have seen, our Swami Sahananda Ji, who is our head Swami, he is type A personality. He cannot keep something waiting. He comes from the East Coast after 1 month, 1.5 months maybe, going to different places, so much of mail and so much. He will come, he say, I am not going to eat. He sat, just sat on the desk, and so much piles of letters, these, that, sorting, maybe 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, then he goes to bed. He cannot keep it. That's why he said, do not know whether I will be leaving tomorrow. Let me finish now. Don't keep anything pending. So that you go with that thought, oh, I'll have to do that. That is the reason they say people should be very prompt in that type of. So prompt. Then unconcerned. Unconcerned means little detached. Unconcerned means we get too much concern. You know? We say, oh, I'm concerned about that. And that concern means you give up your sleep that night. Is it not? So shall we not think that someone seriously, if someone is suffering from our known friend or something? And no, you do that. You think of that. You try to help whatever you can. Or pray to God for the good or benefit of that and then let things happen. So what happens? We increase our anxiety more by our concern, too much concern, thinking too much. And you cannot do anything, only you raise your blood pressure and take another dosage of BP, blood pressure medicine. It does not do anything good to anybody, neither your health or not the people you are doing for. They don't get any benefit, only too much concern means too much identification. So it should be a little detachment is the point here. Then untroubled. Situations outside will always create trouble, but you will be untroubled, and who is selfless in all his undertakings. That's the, we have talked about it. All your work you do it for God. So you think, I have done it for God, finish. And you'll be free. Selfishness means, I want this. And if it does not happen, then I cry and weep and do. Even it is, I cannot do anything, but still I see the negative impacts I bring in my life. So there is the untroubled and who is selfless in all the undertaking. He who is thus devoted to me is dear to me. Yo na hrishyati na dhyasti na sochati na kangshati shubha shubha parityagi bhakti manya same priya. He who is neither rejoices nor hates. Rejoicing and hating are two opposites. That means we live in the moments and we give too much value to the moments. But you look back, how many moments in your life came and went away? How many joyous moments, how many moments of fear and frustration came in your life? Where are they now? Unless you carry in your mind and make it aggravated, these are all past stories, gone. Sometimes you will look at your life, that something which you did, you become so much worried and you become so reactive. Now you can jokingly say that story. Hey, during that time it happened and I behaved like that. You know, what a fool. See, you analyze your activity now, looking back your past activities. So, can you not practice now? This today's seriousness will be tomorrow's forgetfulness. Today's moment, let it pass. You utilize the best you can, the moment. Life is very valuable. One Swami came from Pune. No. Where he came from? Yes. So he was talking about the most valuable thing in life. What is the most valuable thing in life? He says time. The clicking of the clock going on, this moment will not come back into your life or my life anymore again. So how you utilize the moment, that is your spirituality. Most precious thing. Health comes, health goes. Money comes, money goes. Your wisdom comes, wisdom goes. Alzheimer, gone. The realities of life, look at that, really. But time is not to be replaced by anything. Health can be recovered, money can be recovered. You see the stock market went down, it comes up and again goes, but it can be recovered. Maybe there is possibility, but time, there is no chance of recovering the old time anymore. Yesterday, gone forever from my life. Not coming back any moment. 6 o'clock this evening, went forever from my life. 8 o'clock, gone forever. It is never coming back. So how you utilize your precious moments? In what best way? So that is a concern. So we should be very serious about it. So yo na hrishyati na dhyasti na sochati na kangshati shubha shubha parityagi bhaktiman swami priya. 3rd 17th verse. He was neither rejoices, because it is a moment. This mood I rejoiced, and then next mood I grieve, I feel sad. Oh, he does not have any clinging to these things. Satyik dispassionately looks at life. It comes and goes. How many times it came in my life? How many times it went? So why not I practice this at this moment? Anything coming good? Okay, God has sent me. Anything bad comes? Okay, God has sent me. Let me be peace, in peace. It will pass. Just wait for a few minutes. Nothing remains in life permanently. Only it is a passing. Some may say, oh, you do not know, my suffering is endless. True, maybe a little more than others. But remember, that also will pass. It will not remain. So this is the bhakta's attitude. So bhakta can, the devotee can enjoy freedom by this way of thinking. Then nor griefs, nor desires, nor grieving. We grieve, yes, we should grieve if someone, something happened. But it should not be, for whom I am grieving? Somebody died maybe. Yes, people die. People are born, people are dead. Where do they go? Whom you are crying for? You are crying for the body or you are crying for the soul? The soul does not die. So whom you are crying for? You are crying for the body. And body is always changing. What body you loved? People say, I love the body. Okay, which body you love? Your 5 years old body? 10 years old body? No body is static. A clicking of the clock, body is changing. So what are you holding on to? So these are all analysis of life. Does not mean that we will not be in the life. Does not mean that we will not enjoy the life. But at the same time, with this wisdom, you become free from other problems, which this attachment to the body and attachment to the things create. So he says, he does not grieve, nor desire. Grieving, maybe they offer it to God. Do good to the soul who have departed. You know, who is very good. And he is my friend, I will feel for him. He is my most dear person, I will feel for that. But it can be turned to a spiritual practice rather than only grieving. And renouncing good and evil. Good and evil will come in life. Okay, whatever has come, let it come. You don't get entangled into it. Full of devotion, who is a person devoted that way, he is my dear. And then, 18 and 19, samasatrau cha mitre cha tatha mana apamanayo shita usna sukha dukkheshu samasanga vivarjito tulla ninda stutir mauni santushto yena kena chit Aniketas thiramatir bhaktiman me priyo naraha. So, sama satru cha mitre cha. This type of devotee will cultivate a feeling that enemy and friend are almost same. That story, that one monk was beaten by some people and then he was carried to the monastery by other friends, monastic friends or somebody, and then he was unconscious. And when he was fed with hot milk, warm milk. Gradually, after some time, he came back to his outer consciousness. Then he was asked, who has beaten you this way? He said, he who is feeding me milk, he has beaten me. See? This is the equanimity of the mind. See, in his mind, there is no shatru, enemy. Because God is in everyone. Okay, God has done. He's a matured bhakta. We need not be able to go a little bit close to that. But at least we can keep our mind, we can forgive somebody. If somebody has done some harm, we can easily try to just ignore that. And see the good side of it. But we cry and weep because of our weakness. So, sama satrau cha mitre cha. So, it is equal in enemy and in your friend. They are same. And mano and apamano, your honor and your dishonor, your praise, someone praises you, we become very friendly with him. And if someone says something bad about you, I don't like that man. So why that? Be powerful, be stand on your own dignity. You know who you are. Whether people praise or blame, what is that to you? Can you not stand there itself? Or as a bhakta, this is okay. Lord is teaching me something through this. The praise and blame. Don't believe. That's why I say, don't trust anyone. And today who is praising you, tomorrow he may blame you. The same mouth will speak out something. So don't be upset with it. It is the same. And also Vedantic way of understanding, all the words of praise and blame are due to permutation and combination of the alphabets, is it not? So, if you that's why I am saying it is Vedantic way of thinking. You cannot create any word without the alphabets. So, permutation and combination. If you think all the letters are letters, All the permutation and combination is creating the sound. So why to be bothered about this word, or why to be bothered about that word? So this is Vedantic way. Anyway, so, and then, Shita Usna Sukha Dukkha, as we see, oh, it is so cold, oh, it is so hot. Huh? So, how you can be balancing? In most of the time, we cannot avoid these things. Nature, frost comes, snow comes, sometimes it is hot. But we should not be so excited or so upset and disturb our peace. Okay, it has come, we'll have to face it. It is hot, okay, we'll use how to manage that situation by cooler or by fan or by whatever. Or it is cold, okay, by heater or something. If you don't have anything, sleeping bag. Just try whatever makes it comfortable. And then sukha dukkheshu, shita usnu, and sukha and dukkha, happiness and misery, samas sanga vivarjita. It is free from attachment. Sanga is attachment. Then tulla ninda stuti, the praise and blame, one is equal. Mouni, a little silent, who can analyze himself. Always disturbed. These people cannot think of life, think of higher philosophy. Little be silent. Under situation, something is going on, you be patient. So you can handle the situation better. We get upset. When you get upset, we get nervous. Suppose you are going to some place and your time is only 5 minutes and you have to do so many things. What happens? Our mind runs fast. And what happens as a result? The 5 minutes work, what you could have finished in 5 minutes, it takes 20 minutes. You will put your button wrongly because you are busy. Your shoes, you are putting your shoes, you will mistake, right foot go on the left foot. Because you are busy. That's why Swami Bhuteshanandaji used to say, when you are confronting such situation, think that you have nothing to do now. Take the priority of what? That is very helpful for all of you, maybe, in your job, in your... But Bhuteshanandaji Swami's suggestion is beautiful. He says, think that you have nothing to do that day. You maybe only half an hour to go to catch the plane. And you have so much you cannot do. Think that you have nothing to do. And take one point, another point, another point. With your patience, with your concentration, you will make up the mind, time. With your restlessness, you will expand your time, which you would have taken 5 minutes, you will take 10 minutes. So that is the benefit of becoming the tullo, santushto, or mouni, means silent. Santushto, become contented, aniketa, without anything, that is non-niketa. Niketa is the house, homeless. Homeless means, aniketa means, wherever I stay, it is my house. See, for us, how beautiful. I stay in this room, it is my house. I go back to Hollywood, that is my house. Then I go to Santa Barbara, there is my house. So, every house is my house. See, how many houses I have. So, that's a great joy. No house for me, specific, but all house is my house. The sadhus walk and move from one place to another, walking in India. So wherever they live that day, that is their house. Maybe some temple courtyard, or maybe some guest house, or somewhere, or in a cave, that's the house. So for you, what to think? Yes, wherever God has put me, that's my house. It's God's house. He has given me this opportunity to stay in this room now. Okay, it is His house. So that aniketa, don't bring attachment. That is the main point. Aniketa, sthiramati, steady-minded, bhaktiman, that person is Swami Priya. Now, this is the end, last one. Yetu dharmam ritam idam jathuktam parjupasati saddhana matparama bhaktaste otiva me priya. Otiva priya, exceedingly dear to me. Who? Ye, that bhakta who has collected these dharmas, these qualities. So many times it has been said in so many verses. Those that who follow this immortal dharma, that means it is time, it is timeless. These values are timeless. And those who follow this, they shraddha, with faith and trust and love for God, looking upon me as the supreme goal, looking upon God, whatever is Ishta Devata, Rama, Krishna, they are actually the supreme reality, ultimate God. We only name God in different ways, is it not? So, if one can do that with that type of shraddha, faith, then and become devoted to God, they are exceedingly dear to me. That means they will reside in me, I will reside in them. They will be always peaceful, joyful, and I will be very dear to them. It is this point is to understand God is not far away from us. Because of our negative characters, negative impacts of our character, mind, deluded with so much attachment, this, that, it seems God is farther away. But without God's presence, you cannot live for a second. It becomes dead body. And then we say, oh, I'll have to realize God. I'll have to go to feel the presence of God. Are you are ignoring God is standing here in your heart. And you are not looking there. And you are saying, hey, God, where is God? And God is unkind. God is doing that. That is the Vedantic concept, that is presence of the consciousness is in all of us. And that concretized consciousness we call God, Rama, Krishna. Like that example can be given in the ocean, if the ocean water, but there are some place where it freezes into ice. This ice is tangible, you can hold, you can feel the cold, you can see the shape and size, that is called God. So, God is concretized love, concretized your consciousness, concretized reality. It is eternal reality. So, if one really goes to God, means it is already there to feel it, we need to develop this type of bhakti, this type of devotion, by which you know, I said, then now question comes, how can we practice so many? I cannot remember 28 points even on how to practice. Practice is the next point. But first to remember that. That's why it is said, you follow one thing, all will follow you. You love God, you pray to God, and with your heart and soul, just say, oh Lord, you are my inner personality. Please reveal thyself, make me pure. Make me all dedicated. This prayer and this sincere connectedness with the Divine will instantly give all these qualities. Or you can pay attention to the qualities to develop bhakti. Or if you do bhakti, you have to watch yourself. Am I a bhakta or am I making a show of bhakti? If I am a real bhakta, I will not remember all the things which people do for me, bad or good. If I am a bhakta, I will be having the capacity to forgive and forbear. If I am a bhakta, I will be going through the phases of suffering and this, knowing that it will pass, it is here, but it is not important, God is important. Like that, Swami Vivekananda said, the clouds come and go, but the sun never goes, never comes. We say there is no sun in the sky. Is it true? There is no sun? Sun is all the time there. Which time is that there is no sun? Only it is out of our vision. So similarly, God is out of our vision. God is here and here, now and this moment. So this is the end of the chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga. Oh, I'm happy that I finished it. I never finish things. But it is not finishing, it is rather practicing. It is now to we have heard these principles and now to practice more. It is for our own benefit we have to do it. We need not be good for others' cause, but we should be good, we should be best for our own sake, our own purpose. Because I need peace. Do you want peace or you want restlessness, pain, agony? Do you want or you want to be just relaxed? So you decide. Some people say, why are you spending our time talking about these things? I will say, okay, who have called you brother? You spend your time in your way. We are mad people. We talk about these things because we think it is serious for us, isn't it? Huh? And people think that we'll do all these things when my all duties will be over. That will never come. In life, see the things. One entanglement finishes. You see that my one duty is over. Wait. I know some people who are used to come to our Hollywood center many times when they are very deeply engaged in their job. And I thought that they will be now retiring and they say, I will be retired, I will be, good, then you will be able to come more. Now after retirement, I don't see him anymore. Because everyone thinks that he is retired, so they are pulling them in their way. But I don't see him anymore. I say, what happened to it? Well, you know, because they think that I have nothing to do. So he is calling, she is calling, this is big. Okay, so that's why I can't come to this type of talks or lectures or anything. So there is no end of duty. So we have to make use. While in this situation of our life, we'll have to work through it and make ourselves free. It is our problem, nobody's problem. It is your problem to be in joy and peace. It is nobody's responsibility. Rather, the world will try and test you whether you can attain that peace or not by your own strength. They always try to disturb you. The world is always trying to disturb you. You want to go into peace? You think that now I have settled and tomorrow onwards I will do like that. And you see, tomorrow morning something comes up. So this is the way of life. So you have to make use of the moment. Don't wait for future. Now, today, this moment. Make the best use of the time. That is the advice of the saintly people. Don't wait for old age. Old age, I know, I am becoming a little old. And now I feel back pain, now I feel the shoulder pain, now today is cholesterol high, tomorrow is BP going this and that. This is a physical machine. Machine has worked for long, is it not? Your wear and tear happens in the machine. So it is to be fixed with the doctor, today doctor's appointment, tomorrow's doctor's appointment. You go for doctor, 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 doctor. Old age, there is no time for yourself. So do it when you are capable to do something. And with this being in life, enjoy life. This is called enjoying life. What is enjoying life? Crying and weeping is enjoying life? Or being in life, this freedom. That is called enjoyment of life. Not being entangled, doing all the duties, loving everyone, but at the same time, detached. So, very difficult, but we can practice. And by God's grace, it will happen. At least there is great joy in practice itself.